But here's Joseph's response. The Bible says it this way, "And Joseph arose from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took her as his wife and kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus." Joseph put aside his lesser dreams compared to what he knew was God's ultimate dream.
Bele Kaliki Maga, Merry Christmas, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. This week, we've been looking at the central cast of the Christmas story. We started the week with Elizabeth and Zachariah, then moved on to the story of Mary. Yesterday, we began a look at the wife of Joseph, and that's where we're going to wrap it up today. Here's Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, Joseph's Response.
But though breaking off an engagement today isn't the end of the world, breaking off a betrothal in the ancient days was not so easy and simple a task. You see, being betrothed to someone was a legal contract. The couple goes to a rabbi and with their parents and announces their betrothal, that they are going to be married. And it's entered into the synagogue public records. And the woman is seen, for all intents and purposes, as that man's wife. And he is seen as her husband, even though they don't live together yet. This next phase, called the betrothal, could take up to a year, where he is building his home, getting ready, preparing, and she's preparing for the wedding. And should there be unfaithfulness during this period, it's a very serious matter. The unfaithful partner is publicly shamed, and prior to Roman rule, an unfaithful wife would actually be stoned to death as an adulteress. Yeah, it wasn't any small thing here. But none of that would matter because everything was just going perfectly until a visit by an angel, that is, Gabriel was his name. He announced to Mary that she would bear a son. Even though she was yet unmarried and still a virgin, that son that she would bear would be called Wonderful, Counselor, Prince of Peace, the Mighty God. He would be called the Messiah, prophesied from old. And Mary was so troubled by this, but the Bible tells us that she immediately set off for the hill country of Judea, some 80 miles away, to visit her older cousin Elizabeth. And remember, she was infertile, but now she was pregnant in her old age. Mary went to see Elizabeth. Why? You see, Elizabeth would understand. There was an angelic visitation there too. Most probably, Joseph had no idea Mary had, boom, left so abruptly early the next morning after the announcement. She was just gone. And for 3 months, she would be with Elizabeth, visiting over what this calling might mean, until faith-filled, Mary would return to Galilee. It would have been late one afternoon when, working in a carpenter's shop, that Joseph looked up, laid aside his hammer, and there was Mary in the doorway. "Mary," he'd say. But when he got up to embrace her, to let her know how much he missed her, he noticed that she had been crying. She gently pushed back on his advance, and Joseph said, "What's wrong?" At that moment, she looked at him and said, "I'm pregnant." It was then that Joseph's mind began to spin. "What?" "Yes," Mary said, "I'm going to have a baby, and I'm already 3 months along." He stared at her and wondered who the man was. Not some Roman, was it? Not some thief along the way as he went into the hills of Judea, was it? No, she said, it wasn't any man. An angel appeared to me and said he was from God. And all that's happening was authored by God. I've remained pure, I promise. But there's a baby in my womb. You know, we're so familiar with the story that the shock effect of that whole scene has left us, hasn't it? But for a moment, put yourself in Joseph's Birkenstocks. And what if you heard this for the first time, realizing that you won't be looking for wedding dresses, you're looking for maternity clothes. And that's if they marry. Joseph's head is still spinning. He hangs a closed sign on the door of his shop and slowly pulls the shade and walks home alone with his thoughts rambling and racing in his head. He's confused, obviously confused, angry, emotionally exhausted. And he's wrestling between being completely devastated and deeply bewildered, collapses into bed. And now, since we know the end of the story, we might tend to overlook the possibility of a divorce. But Mary had no way of knowing how Joseph would respond to her pregnancy. Is he going to blow up? Will he walk out on her? She, at the same time, is walking to her home, and she's wondering, will he humiliate me publicly? Would he divorce me? As the story turns out, Mary had little to fear, for Joseph didn't blow his top, nor did he try to humiliate her, but he did intend on divorcing her. But now we read this account, and this could be made into a movie. The account of a romance that was saved by a dream. Or maybe a romance that was touched by an angel. Let's read the story. Read it with me. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother, Mary, had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man, and not wanting to disgrace her, desired to put her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for it is he who will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place, that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And Joseph arose from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took her as his wife, and kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. I love that one line, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Though pregnant, Mary is still pure and chaste. Never before, never since, never again. This is God's sign. Joseph, this is a miracle like none other, the angel would say. You won't have any other role models, and you don't have any precedent to look back on. But Joseph's life is one of faithfulness, regardless of the ridicule, regardless of the snide comments. He understood that would happen, but he would protect his family and keep the faith. Joseph would later pass away, and no one would know outside of his immediate family. No news clippings, no magazine write-ups, just a quiet passing. Did that mean he was insignificant? No. It was back in 1997, Princess Diana died in an auto accident, and it made worldwide news. For months on end, the news channels were filled with funeral pictures and summaries of her life and legacy. Time magazine came out as the lady of the year. And then there were conspiracy theories and scandals. Months passed, and she was the main center figure. But I remember just a few months later, one of my heroes, Mother Teresa, died. She had given her life to the poorest of the poor in Calcutta, India, and brought hope, the gospel, to hundreds of thousands. She never married, but gave her complete life to living out the gospel. But very little would be heard because it was overshadowed by the news of a celebrity, Princess Diana. But in God's eyes, this little Albanian missionary would make front page news in heaven. There was a homecoming for her that would never be equaled. Never think that being known by men is our goal. It's being known by God. Joseph was like that. Now let me make this personal. Let me lead you with a few questions. Questions that Joseph must have had to answer in the quietness of his own room. And answering them correctly, his life would be assigned with the purpose of God. I pray that our responses too would be like his, especially during this Christmas season. See, here's the questions. First question is this. Number one, if God asked you to serve him anonymously for the rest of your life, where no one would know your name, where no one cared about your input, and if you disappeared, no one would ever notice, would you still say yes? You know, I had to wrestle with that. I remember God asking that of me, Wayne, if I asked you to go to like Cupcake, Idaho, where no one would ever know who you are, where you came from, and you'd just be never heard from again. If I asked you to do that, would you go? It took me weeks, wrestled with that. Joseph had to wrestle with it too. Yet he said yes. He had other plans. But instead, he left his, as it were, nets, as the other disciples said. He left his nets and followed him. It says this in Matthew 6:19. Lay up for yourselves, not treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust don't destroy and thieves don't break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there shall your heart be also. And I thought, what do you mean? Store up for yourselves not treasures on earth, but store them in heaven. I mean, how do you get treasures into heaven? I mean, you just kind of throw them up there? That's a long way. Then I thought, well, all right, what's in heaven? How do I invest in heaven? Is there going to be real estate or is there going to be mansions? Yeah, I know there's going to be mansions, but those are already built. I can't really buy and sell them, I don't think. And then I was thinking, what's going to be in heaven? And I started going through all of the things that I could invest in heaven. Finally, I just got frustrated and I said, all right, I do know this. I know Jesus is going to be in heaven, and I know people are going to be in heaven. And then I came to that conclusion. The best investment of my life is not found on the front page of Time magazine or anything else. It's the best investment is to invest in Jesus and invest in people. And when you do, you know that you're laying up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And Joseph chose the best part. He said, yes, I'll do it. No matter what it looks like, I'm good. There's a second question that Joseph would have to deal with right away. Because you see, it wouldn't be long before people would understand that, if you do the math right, this baby was born a little sooner than it should have, huh? And in those days, that was quite a scandal. Here's the question. The question is this: would you be willing to bear the cost of being misunderstood until one day people understand? You see, there's times where you're going to be accused of things, you're going to be blamed for things, and you can fight and wrestle and defend. But in the end, God's truth is going to bear everything out. And it's like he said to Joseph, "Joseph, you can go on the warpath or try to be a Sherlock Holmes or an attorney. Or better yet, would you be willing to be misunderstood until one day people understand?" Now, people would take a look at Joseph and wonder why his wife was so unfaithful. What happened? What's going on? Are you going to get rid of her? God asks Joseph, "Would you be willing to bear humiliation? Would you be willing to raise a child who will be seen as the product of sin until some people understand later that he came to save people from their sin?" Joseph knew, or would soon realize, that saying yes to God meant bearing the misunderstandings of others, constant suspicion, maybe public shame. Gone were his dreams of a quiet, happy life in Nazareth. But he said yes. His response was good. But here's a third question. Joseph, remember, had other plans. He was going to get married and build his carpentry business and raise a family. But it all changed with a dream. And here's the question he had to wrestle with. Joseph, are you willing to die to lesser dreams? You see, most of the time we bring our plans to God and we like them fulfilled, please, and you can add fries to that. But here's Joseph's response. The Bible says it this way: "And Joseph arose from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took her as his wife and kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus." Joseph put aside his lesser dreams compared to what he knew was God's ultimate dream. But he knew that nothing else would do. I love what Paul says in the book of Philippians. He says, "Oh, that I might apprehend that for which I was apprehended for." I love that. Now, God may have apprehended you for something. It's not a shallow calling. It's to touch on people's lives. It might include a job, but that may not be your calling. As one person said, your job is what you're paid for. Your calling is what you're made for. We were made to glorify God and to share the gospel in such a way that people's lives will be restored and redeemed. And Joseph put aside any lesser dream and embarked on a life of adventure. Let me finish with this. He was a Joseph. Actually, his name was Noel Campbell. Quiet, unassuming, but just as solid as they come. Rock of Gibraltar without failure. Only the substance of trustworthiness was in this man, and as dependable as the morning sunrise. I was 31 years old and was on my way to a sleepy town called Hilo in Hawaii to plant churches. Now, Noel was a staff pastor at the church that I was at, and his wife had passed away some years prior, and he raised his 5 kids on his own, never remarried. He was in his 50s now, and one day he pulled me aside and said that the Lord had spoken to him that he was to come with me to help plant the church. I shook my head and I said, "What are you doing that for?" I told him I had no money and no way to pay him or pay for any of his expenses. In fact, my own salary was capped at $500 a month. That was it. That was all this little fledgling church could afford. But he told me not to worry. He packed his bags, shipped over his Volkswagen Bug, and we began in 1984. Noel was not a celebrity, not a high-profile person. He didn't have speaking gifts, musical gifts, prophetic gifts. But he was really kind and caring. And when he was with you, you felt like you were the only person in the universe at that moment. He never asked for anything, but was always faithful, dependable, willing to pray. He would be at every service. He'd arrive earlier than anyone else, and then he'd be the last to leave. After service, you'd always find him talking with somebody, sitting somewhere, praying, counseling. He was like a picture of the lingering presence of the Holy Spirit after each service. And whenever you saw him there, you knew that the hand of God was still at work. Each of the several times when I came to the end of my rope and I was ready to bail, when board meetings would go awry and key people would leave in anger, and I'd have it up to here, it was Noel who would talk me back into reenlisting. He taught me how to love people beyond their flat spots and invest in them. One day I was collecting baseball cards. That's when baseball cards were the rage. And I bought a large grouping of potentially valuable cards, and I showed them to Noel, and I said, "Look, Noel, look, I'm gonna be rich one day. I collect baseball cards." And I looked at Noel, and I said, "What do you collect?" He looked at me with a slight smile, and he said, "I collect friends." Ever hear someone say something and then later think, "Man, I wish I would have said that"? It would be 7 years later that he would return to the Northwest to help his son-in-law in their church, and a few years later, he passed away. But of all the men who had the largest impact on my life, it was not a celebrity. It wasn't a high-profile prophet that taught me faithfulness and endurance. No, it was a Joseph. How thankful I am for Joseph's response. Now, let me make it personal again. What's your response to the invitation of God? Oh, it may not be as complex as Joseph's call, but the Bible says, "Behold, now is a day of salvation. Today is the day." Is God tugging at your heart? Are you fully surrendered to Jesus Christ? Joseph was still ambivalent, but when he heard the voice of God, he said yes. And I pray that you hear the voice of God today. And if you're not sure about your relationship with him, please say yes. And your whole life will become an adventure. See, Jesus knows God's very best plans for you. His plans are always the best. Ours, the lesser. I want to give you a chance to say yes. And even if you're just unsure about your relationship with Jesus, you can make sure today. The Bible says, "Behold, I stand at the door of your heart and knock. And if you'll open the door, I'll come in." I'm going to lead you in a prayer, and I'm going to ask you to voice it with me as your response to his invitation to make him your Lord and your Savior. This is a defining moment for you. And even as Joseph or Mary or Elizabeth, when they all heard the voice of God and responded well, that's what Christmas is all about. Let's do the same this Christmas.
You've just heard the conclusion of a message entitled Joseph's Response by Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. Thank you for listening. This week we have studied the lives of four individuals in the Christmas story: Elizabeth, Zechariah, Mary, and Joseph. And we've seen how God asked each of them to complete an almost impossible assignment. But God knew they were up to the task. Perhaps He is asking something difficult of you. Take courage, my friend. God is fully confident that you too will pass the exam. Until next time, for all the family at New Hope, have a Merry Christmas and God bless you richly throughout the year ahead.
Mele Kalikimaka. This is Pastor Wayne Cadero of Words of New Hope. Each Christmas brings new gifts, and may this year you find not just gifts, but a new view of the giver of all gifts, Jesus Christ Himself.